proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city. Today on Church and State, you may take my life, but you'll never take my stake. Also, we'll be covering, is it time to Rexit? And I'll explain that in a little bit. Plus, space is gay. Hello, Christian Patriots, and welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. And I am your favorite far-right shock jock, Caleb Collier. Always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for tuning in once again to the most schizophrenic show that you listen to every single day. Hey, go on over to churchandstate.media and check out our fantastic website. Look, there's a lot of good things about this website, if I don't mind saying so myself. But you can download all of our shows. You can watch them. You can share them with other people. Look, you need to share a lot of our content because alternative media is where it's at, and you're not going to hear the story behind the story, as it were, unless you're sharing content like what we provide. You can also go and take advantage of all of our fine affiliates, and let's just showcase MyPillow. It's right in front of me, so why not? Hey, MyPillow has some of the best products you can possibly buy, all American made. They are guaranteed to make you sleep better, walk better, feel better. I mean, it's all just, you're just going to feel better. That's really what it comes down to, okay? They got some great products there. Use the promo code Church and State and you're going to get a discount, and we're going to get some of that money as well. You can also now donate to us directly. So go to that website, churchandstate.media, and just hit the donate button. And you know what we're doing here? We believe it's a ministry, but it costs money to do this, to produce this type of content. And so if you want to keep us on the air, go ahead and donate to us. Lastly, if you want to get a hold of us, Church and State 1776 at proton.me. As always, I love hearing from the fan base, whoever that may be. I will actually respond to hate mail. I will do that. All right. So speaking of hate mail, I might get some for this first story, but I, as an individual, and I think this is becoming more popular as well, it's becoming more mainstream, but a lot of people are starting to question the moon landing. Did we actually go to the moon? And I came across a great little picture here that I had to bring up for my audience. All right, and it says, today's brain teaser. How did the moon buggy fit inside the spaceship? That's a good question. That's a very good question. I got an image here for you. You can clearly see the size of the moon lander. All right, this is the spaceship that they had three astronauts in, as well as this rather large buggy that was supposed to traverse the moon. And I'm looking at even the size of the astronaut, like this doesn't look like it would fit a lot of people in it, and also that buggy. So it's just another question for you as you're examining, did we actually do this? And here's the thing, I'm definitely not pro-government, or especially pro-big government on this show. That being said, with what was going on during the whole, you know, nuclear arms war, the communist Russians, all this stuff. Look, we did, in a way, bankrupt the Russians through, this was definitely one aspect of it, is this race to space. And so if that was what occurred here, or if that's what they want to deem the official story, just come out and say it. Just say, we've never been to the moon. But if that's the case, I really want to know where all this money that we send to NASA is going to. Like, is this just another money laundering scheme, just like what we're doing in Ukraine? But I think maybe a great musician might have actually said it best. Go ahead and play that video. If you believe they put a man on the moon, man on the moon. Care, yeah, go ahead and cut that. I don't care. I like REM. I don't care what you say. I do. I think REM. I like his voice. I like a lot of their songs. You can call me whatever you want, but I don't care because they're a good band. All right. Moving on from there, let's talk a little bit about what they're doing to meat. And I know that we've addressed this a few times on this show, but there's more and more that's coming out. And we got this guy who actually is in some sort of a TED Talk or something of that. Actually, it's a caucus. But he's a World Economic Forum bioethicist explaining how he wants to genetically modify humans to make them allergic to meat. Let's just go and hear it from his own words. Chris, go ahead and play that clip for me, please.
So I'll give two examples. So one is that people eat too much meat, right? And if they were to cut down on their consumption on meat, then they would it would actually really help the planet. But people are not willing to give up meat. Yeah, you know, some people will be willing to, but other people, they may be willing to, but they sort of, they have a weakness of will. They say, wow, this steak is just too juicy. I can't do it. I'm one of those, by the way. So, you know, but so here's the thought, right? So it turns out that we know a lot about, so there, we have these intolerance to, so I, for example, I have milk intolerance. And there, some people are intolerant to crayfish. So possibly we can use human engineering to make it the case that we're intolerant to certain kinds of meat, to certain kinds of bovine proteins. And there's actually analogs of this in life. There's this thing called the long star tick, where if it bites you, you will become allergic to meat. I can sort of describe the mechanism. So that's something that we can do through human engineering. We can kind of possibly address really big world problems through human engineering.
Okay. Do you see how unassuming he is? They get the most unassuming individuals. Look at this guy's fun, right? He's one of those individuals that he just likes meat too much, so he's not willing to give it up. But maybe I could experiment, and he's not going to experiment on himself. He's going to experiment on you. Because an individual like that, one of these elitists, he'll make sure that he's able to continue to consume meat because he heard it from his own words. He likes steaks way too much. But for the rest of us, yeah, let's go ahead and experiment on humans to make it to where they cannot consume red meat in particular because there's a war on cows, didn't you know? I mean, obviously, it's their gas that is contributing to the climate change, the climate crisis. This is disgusting. I can't believe this individual is openly talking about that he wants to experiment on humans. You know, we used to put people in prison for that. There used to be this code of ethics within the scientific community where, no, you needed informed consent. Well, that all went out the window, of course. And I mean, we've all been victims. Well, a vast majority of the population has been victims to medical experimentation, i.e. the vaccine. You know, if I got bit by this tick and I became allergic to red meat, I would make it my life's mission. I would disappear. You would not hear me on the radio anymore. My life's mission would be to eradicate those ticks. Like, I would literally kill bugs for a living. That's how angry I would be about not being able to consume red meat. In fact, I would probably just deal with the allergy. I think I said that before on one of these shows. I'd have hives. I'd be shooting myself with EpiPens while I'm eating this bloody medium rare steak. Oh, I'm getting hungry now. There's probably only one thing that could get me to stop consuming meat, or perhaps I should more appropriately say a meat-like product. And I've got a video here. I don't think there's a lot of audio to it, but I'm going to play it. I'll describe it for the radio audience as well. But this is probably one of the most disgusting things. My producer over here, or are you my engineer? I forget. What are you? You're every my guy over here, he doesn't even eat meat. He's a vegetarian. You can pray for him about that. I forgot my joke. I forgot to tell the joke. Okay, I got a great joke for you, Chris. Pat, you're going to like this too, but you eat meat, so you're on my side of this. All right, so a vegetarian and a vegan throw themselves on a cliff or off of a cliff to see who will hit the bottom first. Who wins? Society. come on, that's good. All right, society wins. That's right. All right, anyway, this meat-like process that they are so Chris is watching this video and he doesn't even eat this stuff, and he couldn't even get through the whole video. So Chris, go ahead and play that. I'll talk it through. If there's like music playing or anything, just go ahead and mute that, and I'll just kind of talk through it with the audience. Okay. No sound. That's perfect. All right, here we've got this delicious-looking pink slime. It literally looks like bubble gum, I guess you could say, like this whole crate full of disgusting pink bubble gum. And this is like, I don't even know what this is. It's like bleached meat reconstituted. It's worse than bologna, if any of you are still eating that, or even those hot dogs that are not like the kosher all beef. And then they're just filling it up full of these pans. They're filling these pans full of this stuff. Does that even look edible to you? Because it certainly doesn't look edible to me. Like, it's also interesting to note that the individuals that are actually making this product they look like they're afraid of COVID-19. Like, they got gloves on, gowns on, double masks. They got the visor. I mean, that's just, they don't want to even touch this stuff. So clearly we should be consuming it. But they're putting it in this pot or these pans, and then they're banging it down to get it level. And now they're going to take it, and they're going to put it on these racks. And when they put it on these racks, they're then going to put it into these ovens, which is going to turn it a very odd-looking brown. Now, as I'm looking at this, and I don't want to ruin it for the audience that is actually watching it, but going off of the pink and then the fact that the edges turn brown, I'm going to go ahead and guess that this is ham. This is going to be the sliced deli ham that you all buy from your local grocery store. How many people out there love to eat a nice ham sandwich or put it on some crackers or whatnot? This is more than likely what you're consuming. Ladies and gentlemen, we know so much of the food supply is making us sick. And here's the proof right here. That's ham. Chris, am I right? Is that ham? Pat, is that ham? It looks like ham, right? Look at this. If you're on radio, you have got to go over to churchandstate.media and check out this video alone, because I guarantee you, you are not going to want to eat deli meats after watching that. I was hungry when I was talking about steak. I think I'm fasting now. I think I might be on a hunger strike after watching that. That is disgusting. Oh my gosh. All right. Let's move over to something else that absolutely disgusts me. When is this alphabet mafia going to stop touching everything and anything they can get their hands on? They act like a small child. They're like, mine, mine. You ever seen small children when their friends come over, and now all of a sudden the toy that they haven't played with in 2 years is their favorite thing in the world, and they won't let anybody else touch it? That's how the homosexual, the LGBTQ community acts these days. Everything is theirs. And now their claim is space is gay. That's right. Space is gay. How do you even come up with that idea? Like, if you want to prove that clearly there's some mental health issues going on in the LGBTQ community, here's your story right here. Space is gay. There's nothing. Is space having relationships with other celestial bodies that are of the same sex? Like, I don't even comprehend this. How do you get to this? Well, the claim is, of course, and this is a really long article. It's I can't believe that they were able to, you know, and actually, I might be getting played here. This might be like a James Lindsay type of article. If you don't know who he is, look him up. He's fantastic. But this might be one of these articles that they're literally trolling people, and here I am adding to it. That could be the case here. But basically what it's talking about is the fact that space is largely ambiguous, right? Written in the stars, that all of these homosexuals, LGBTQ type people, are having experiences where they look up into the stars and they feel a oneness, a closeness to it. Why? Because they're searching for a God, right? And that's what this is becoming to them. They're feeling this closeness to it, and I suspect that they're tying into the God of this world, i.e. Lucifer, but they're feeling like the stars are telling them that to be just accept who they are and what they are, because that's what space has done. Right, they're taking this mindset that they can take control of astronomy as a field, as a whole. And they point out a number of individuals who have contributed to the exploration of space that have been on this spectrum of the rainbow. Look, if somebody makes a fantastic scientific discovery, I don't care what they look like. I don't care who they are. Right? I enjoy, especially, I love, absolutely love astronomy. I love looking into the heavens. I look forward to one day exploring those. I have a theory on that, that when we die, part of worshiping the Lord will be experiencing his creation. So I look forward to this. But there's nothing about this that says it's gay. In fact, we as Christians know that this is the creation. And the creator is certainly not gay, and he would not have made any of his creation gay. Are you listening to that? To the people who watch this show that hate things that I say, here's a soundbite for you. God did not make you gay. Sin has. And just like any other sin out there, it's only through grace, the blood of Jesus Christ, that you can combat your flesh and move into his will for you. And I know plenty of homosexuals that have come out of the lifestyle that are now believers in Christ, completely forgiven, washed clean. So don't let them have this. Don't let them take space. Don't let this become the new narrative that space is gay. What's next? I don't even know. I literally don't know what you could possibly go from here. Like, what is the next gay thing? If space is gay, everything's on the table. Moving on from there and talking about other things that disturb me. We've got an article that came out, and it's talking about that men fit into three categories. Three masculinity categories. This is new from science. Well, science is now telling us that space is gay, so clearly you can trust them. But three things, three categories. They went through and they interviewed 92 heterosexual men aged 19 to 43 from 14 different countries to determine how they navigated partnerships as gender roles continue to transform. Well, that tells you everything you need to know right about there. All right, so the first masculinity type, defined by researchers, is neo-traditionalist, whereby a man largely follows traditional gender roles, such as being the provider and protector in the relationship. You notice how they make this appear negative right off the bat. Number two is egalitarian. It involves a man seeking a more equal partnership with emphasis on mutuality and measurable give and take. And the third, defined by experts, is progressive and pretends to mean who work on building gender equity in the partnership through regular purposeful conversations with their partners to adjust who does what. Now, I know that I've got a large female fan base on this show, but you're pretty used to me. I'm going to give you a little clue about men. We don't like to talk to you. Yeah, we don't. Men, we don't talk all that much, all right? And I know I'm an outlier. I've got my own talk show host. But honestly, we don't talk all that much. And when you ask us, what are you thinking about when we're just staring off to space and we say nothing? We're thinking about nothing, okay? If you ask us, like, a question and you say, you know, like, what do you want for breakfast? And you're like, pancakes. And they're like, is he mad at me? All he said was pancakes. When you give us a text and you ask us, hey, would you mind stopping by the store and picking up this, 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 and that? And we respond with an okay. All we mean by that is okay, right? We don't think about the fact that you want to see like an exclamation point or a smiley face or a bunch of hearts in the text. We're not going to do that. Why? Because men like me, true masculinity, we're these neo-traditionalists. Because we view ourselves as the provider and the protector. Oh, could we possibly say that's based on biblical gender roles? Maybe, but don't try to feminize us. Okay, accept the fact. Why do you like men in the from the get-go? Because we're built the way that we are. Because we want to protect you and provide for you. Okay, you don't want some feminine hipster who wants to talk about his feelings with you every single day. That's not what's going on here. That's not your traditional man. And so stop trying to make us into this. Look, they did a great disservice to the nuclear family when they, in the 50s in particular, made it to where both spouses had to work. Okay, and I'm not coming out and saying that women can't fill a role within the business world. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not being sexist, if that's what you want to claim. But prior to this, most Americans thrived, had their own homes, had their own cars, and the family unit was so well put together. When you lived like Leave It to Beaver. Okay, when Ward came, or I don't remember the guy's name. Maybe it was Ward. Pat's not in his head, so there you go. He's older than me. When Ward would come home from a long day at the office and dinner was on the table and the kids were happy to see them and mom had been with the kids all day long and the house was in order, was there anything wrong with that? Or do we prefer the current model where now husband and wife are both working and the children are in a public indoctrination system and after that they're in daycare? And both parents come home so exhausted that they don't even have time to cook. So we're consuming all this products like this disgusting ham sandwich thing that they made with a pink slime. Are we healthier? Is the nuclear family being protected? No. And now they've declared a war on masculinity. And now they're making roles, three different masculine roles, where obviously... Well, the progressive one is going to be their greatest priority. This is how we've evolved as a culture, where we want to be progressive, where men act like women. But if you can't go that far, you can become the second class. Men are meant to protect. Men are meant to provide. We're silent and stoic. We don't talk about our emotions. We die sooner than you. But you know what? This is how we were created. And I, for one, am not going to fall prey to this type of propaganda that's going to make me feel bad for being a man. A little secret? I want to be a man, and I want you to be a woman. And that's the way God intended things. And I celebrate women. You've got so many amazing characteristics about you. So let's just stay within the gender norms the way that God intended it to be. Last but not least, after I've angered a whole bunch of people, let's just continue with that. Why not? You've all heard of Blexit. Now, a lot of people believe that it stands for Black Exit from the Democrat Party. That's not what it means. It means Black Exit actually from this leftist ideology, is this victimhood mentality. But we got an interesting story, and it actually quotes from my boss, Charlie Kirk. It's time to cut ties with the Republican Party, coming from the Gateway Pundit. And so I have dubbed this Rexit, which I actually really like, Rexit. Makes people think of wrecking the Republican Party, which... so oftentimes I want to do. We fall prey to this belief system in the two-party system that we've got to vote for the lesser of two evils, that the Republican Party, when you look at their platform, that's clearly the way that conservatives and Christians need to be voting. But aren't you tired of rhetoric? Aren't you tired of individuals telling you, giving you a bunch of promises, and never following through? Take this in look at it as a relationship. If you had a friend, and you'd been friends for a very long time, but this individual made a lot of empty promises, and you could never depend on that individual, what would that look like? Would you eventually come to a point where you severed ties? would you just kind of look at that person as an associate and not necessarily as a friend anymore? Because don't we want to be able to depend and rely on the individuals that are closest to us? Well, the Republican Party has failed you. They have become the designated defeat mechanism for the two-party system. And yet you continue to vote for them. You continue to support them. You continue to give them money. And my boss, Charlie, on this, he actually sent out, he wrote this last night, or a couple nights ago. Republicans did nothing about Bill Clinton flying to islands with minors. Republicans did nothing about Hillary Clinton smashing devices. Republicans did nothing about James Comey brazenly lying. Republicans did nothing about Andy McCabe plotting a silent coup against a sitting president. Republicans did nothing about BLM raising $100 million and breaking charitable giving laws. Republicans in Florida did nothing about James Biden's alleged fraud scheme involving a hospital system. Republicans in Arkansas did nothing about Hunter Biden's crimes. Republicans have done nothing against Antifa and their interstate RICO operations. Republicans have done nothing against Fauci, EcoHealth Alliance, and other fake scientists who promoted lies about COVID's origin to hide their own culpability. Why would Democrats be afraid of us? Why would we as conservatives support you? And why would the left be concerned about anything that the Republican Party does? You're going to get a point here. I mean, they really have done nothing. Republicans have done nothing against the weaponization of our government against Trump. They don't want Trump. They do not want Trump to be the Republican nominee. He was an extreme outlier. They were surprised when he got that. Then they had to jump on board and pretend. So is it time for you to Rexit? Is it time for you to examine this two-party system and say there is a better way? Is it time for the rise of the Libertarian Party or the Constitution Party or some unnamed party that hasn't existed yet? Is it time for the Republican Party to go the way of the Whigs? I think so. How could you possibly want desire change in this nation and continue to vote for a party that just gives you empty promises? It's time for you to wake up and demand real change and hold our leaders accountable to their rhetoric. Church and State is sponsored in part by Patriot Church and the Constitution Party, empowering you to put faith into action. With that, Church and State is out.
Welcome to the fire.